Oh, I'm supposed to talk now. Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. Thank you for pointing. You're supposed to talk now.
Oh, I didn't know you hit record, so here we go.
Here we go.
My brain's a little scrambled from the trauma you put me through today.
Oh, so, yeah. It is time for a blind date with Disney, and Brandon got to watch a movie.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Before we get to that, Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I don't know, you made it for me.
Yeah.
It's like pink. Looking
elderflower gin,
elderflower gin and something.
Peach bubbly.
Well, it's quite refreshing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm gonna pass you your drink. It's
I have tea.
Careful, it's hot.
Yes. It's tea. I don't even know what kind it is because it was out of my Halloween tea advent calendar.
Ooh,
from David's
spooky
tea. Yeah, it's mystery. I think this is pumpkin chai.
I came down here and I thought it smelled like ginger cookies or something. I mean, so that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's tasty. But yes, I was chilly, so I'm having tea. Also with some pumpkin liqueur in it.
Nice. I was going to ask if you added anything to it.
Yeah, it's
come
pumpkin.
On,
it's festive.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Although when you're listening to this, it's sad Monday. But,
Nah. Brandon, what nerd thing do you have this week?
Oh, well, you've heard me talk about it before, but there was a brand new season in Diablo 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better than season 1 was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's more fun to play.
Nice.
I really liked the story of Diablo 4, the first time you play through it, but then when you play it again, it got kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
And it like resets every season.
Oh, okay.
And the first one was like a pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But yeah, this one's more fun.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm playing a rogue named Stabbington.
That's a great name. Oh my god, that's such a good name. Stabbington.
He stabs people.
That makes sense.
And demons.
Not just a clever name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My nerd thing is we played D&D today.
We did, yes. Mm-hmm. I jumped on the back of a giant frost wolf.
It's true, you did. I shook my head and rolled my eyes and Eldritch blasted some people.
That's your go-to move as a pompous drow.
Mm-hmm. Cross my arms, roll my eyes, and then Eldritch blast people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun just feeling like I don't know. I feel like sarcastic and just fed up with everyone, and I don't know. I like it. I like it because it's like so uncharacteristic of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting campaign because there's so many player characters that it gets off the rails very easily.
Yeah, which it did today.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. So that's my nerd thing. And Brandon, we literally just watched the new Loki.
Yeah, I needed a palate cleanser after my trauma.
Oh, muffin. I can't wait to hear about it. Okay, what did you think, though? Spoiler-free gut reaction, Loki Season 2, Episode 3.
Well, the plus side is it didn't feel like we missed an episode this time, which was... I was not alone in that thought.
No.
After episode 2. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Not spoiler, but I want ragtime Marvel Studios music.
No kidding.
In my life more often.
Yeah, it's true. The music just was like chef's kiss, as the kid would say.
Even if you're not watching Loki, just turn on episode 3 if you got Disney Plus and watch the Marvel Studios logo. It's got some old-timey music. It's pretty cool.
It was amazing.
We've basically seen all of the trailer footage now.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they usually the first 3
first 3 episodes,
yep.
But I think there's only 6 episodes in total, something like that.
I think so.
Like halfway through, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but I like this one better, yes.
I did
this one was a lot of fun.
I liked it. It moved the plot along a lot more, and it
and some characters.
Yeah, I we'll see. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it sticks some sort of landing.
Yeah, we'll see. And Brannon, do you have a Better Know a Listener for today?
I do.
Okay.
I got an interesting one for you.
Oh, they're all interesting.
Well, yes, of course, they're all interesting because they're our listeners.
Exactly. And they're interesting. Listening. Okay.
But this one's maybe more out of the ordinary.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to butcher its pronunciation, but you've been taking Spanish lessons on Duolingo.
Yeah, that doesn't mean towns are appropriately.
It's Ambato, Ecuador. Ambato, Ecuador. San Juan de Ambato is the full name of it, but yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's in the Andes.
Okay.
Basically, Ecuador. In that little mountain town down in Ecuador. Also on the banks of the Ambato River, because
You have a thing with picking communities. You know what? I'm going to challenge you to find one.
That's not on a river?
Yeah.
Well,
or a body of water.
It's actually an interesting habit of human civilization. They're, like, most communities are on a body of water of some kind. Just historically, it was necessary, so...
Yeah.
That's kind of tough. It's actually the capital of the... Now, this one, I'm really going to butcher. Tungurahu Province? Tungurahua province. Yeah, it's the capital of that province.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Kind of cool. It's in the mountains, like I said, so it's at just about 2,600 meters above sea level, which is about ours.
I was going to say us too.
we're about, because we're in the mountains as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. it's also nicknamed the City of Flowers and Fruits.
Aw, that's really nice.
Apparently, they have a lovely local special peach crop there.
Ooh, I really like that.
Peaches are delicious. They have a flowers and fruits festival during Carnival.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. And it's also...
I like fruit and flowers and Carnival.
It's also nicknamed the Land of the Three Wands.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there was three wands. You know. Juan Montalvo.
Oh, okay. And they helped settle it, or
it was the birthplace of three notable Ecuadorians, all named Juan.
Okay.
Juan Montalvo.
Montalvo.
Juan Leon Mera, and Juan Benigno Vela. Benino.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Three wands. They're all born there. Yeah,
that's cool. That's really cool. Ecuador. That is totally different than anything you've picked before.
Yeah. Somebody listened to us from Ecuador, so I thought...
Awesome.
Thought I would say, hi, Ecuador.
Hi, Ecuador.
Or, I don't...
Hola.
Hola. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Perfect. Good.
You know how to say hi in Spanish.
I do, yeah. I was going to say buongiorno, and then I was like,
no,
wait,
that's Italian. that is super cool. That's, kind of boggling my mind, actually. Hi, Ecuador. anything to add before we go to the news?
No.
Nada. Que Spanish.
Sí.
Disney A News Update. Yeah, that's still boggling my mind. That's really cool. We have some new stuff, Brannon.
A couple things, yeah.
Yeah.
Probs.
So, first of all the scaffolding has been removed from the Adventureland treehouse in Disneyland.
Oh, that only took, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
the treehouse, I'm actually excited for the theming and stuff. I'm not, super excited for, a walkthrough attraction. That's not high on my list of things that I like to do on my day in Disney. But it is now the poster child for my annoyance with how long it takes to do anything Disney these days.
That's fair.
It's that's why I sound annoyed when you mention the treehouse.
You're, not anti-treehouse.
I like the retheming. I think it's better than the Tarzan one.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm excited for it.
But why did it take so long?
That's very true. Okay. The other one, I'm going to talk Disneyland again here in a minute. But the other big news that you sent me that I want to say before we forget, I'm going to say this name wrong. Gary Dauberman or Doberman?
Dauberman.
Dauberman.
Dauber,
and
yeah,
James Wan's Atomic Monster.
James Wan. Okay. Horror yep. extraordinaire James Wan.
Do you
Wan.
Know what from?
All sorts of things, actually.
What would be most notable that like other people would know?
I think he was involved in the Saw franchise.
I don't know about that, but heavily involved in the Annabelle.
Oh, the Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like just like one of the modern horror. He's like Carpenter and you Romero. You go back in your history of big
right.
name horror icons from like the 70s and 80s. James Wan is your like millennial version of
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. So essentially, they're remaking Gargoyles into live action. The premise of Gargoyles, if you don't know, if you did not watch Disney TV in the mid-90s, 94 to 97 was the original cartoon. The premise involved...
I actually really enjoyed
it was really,
that cartoon.
It was good. I was always kind of like, oh, there's not more of these? That's weird. Now that's why. The premise involved gargoyle statues moved from a castle in Scotland to modern-day New York. And then, but once they're in the Big Apple, the statues awaken from a 1,000-year-old spell, and they take on the mantle of protecting the city, becoming, as the show's narration gravely said, stone by day, warriors by night.
Yeah, it's basically a superhero thing, but with, like, gothic undertones.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious to see how they do this in live action, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, just going back to James Wan, yeah, known for The Conjuring, also Insidious.
Okay.
Saw, I was correct.
You okay?
He did Saw,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And Malignant.
Oh, okay.
And also Aquaman. That may be the most horrifying of them
That's
all.
That's true. That is true. okay. Dauberman is also very horror-ish. He penned the two-part adaptation of the most recent It.
Oh, mm-hmm. excellent. The first part was good.
Yeah. Technically, the first part became the highest-grossing horror movie of all time.
Yeah.
And he also has King's adaptation of Salem's Lot,
Ooh.
Which he wrote and directed for Warner Brothers in the can.
Ah, interesting.
That is interesting. Atomic Monster was also one of the companies behind Megan, which we just saw.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm slightly concerned about Salem's Lot being in the can.
Mm.
That means they haven't released it, and there's a reason for that. Like,
yeah, it's mm-hmm. like, wonder why.
I love Salem's Lot a lot, and that kind of makes me sad if it's not good, but anyway.
Well, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay.
Maybe it's okay.
Do you want to go back to Disneyland for a minute?
Yes.
Okay. So you know how they keep doing these like super cool Trader Sam's tiki mugs? They have an Ursula one. It's like the cauldron that she like does the witchcraft in where she wakes poor unfortunate souls.
I'm okay, that shot's a little better. The first one looked like a really bad homemade Play-Doh thing.
Well, anyway, this is cool. Look at this.
It's still not my favorite, but okay. the other shots are a little better.
There's Mickey and Friends Halloween Cavalcade. Is supposed to run between 1:45 and 2:45 now through Halloween. So this is like a new edition, which is kind of cool. We also have
snow
on the castle. This is crazy. There's snow on the castle. And I think it showed up, like, I don't know, the 18th or something of October.
That is very early, but they're pushing Halloween decorations mm-hmm. earlier and earlier. And it makes sense that they're pushing...
Well, they can't really do an overnight changeover for everything to switch from Halloween to Christmas. And they try and do it as quickly as possible, so...
And I think they're trying to do it... with less people now.
Yes.
And so that it takes longer real time because they can't cram it all in overnight with a huge crew.
Yep.
We noticed this with Halloween. It went up over time as well. So
it's true.
I'm not surprised. It is
a little jarring.
It is a little jarring, but I it helps that the big focus of Halloween is in DCA anyway.
That's true. I mean, you have your Mickey pumpkin and you have your decor. You do. But yeah, your focus is DCA for a lot of the Halloween fans. And then the last news was this last week. Well, last news I have anyway. This last week was Disney's official 100th anniversary.
It was, yeah.
There was, well, lots of stuff on social media, but my favorite thing was Once Upon a Studio.
Yeah, they released it on Disney Plus the day of, which is basically how I learned that it was actually the day, like, the right. official 100th.
Well, and I felt so silly for not knowing, because, like, I knew way back, like, I remember being like, oh, it's October, whatever, and then I knew it was in October, but I didn't register what day it was, and I was actually talking to my sister.
We were a little distracted with our sadness
yes,
as well.
Yes, that's true.
So,
I was talking to my sister who was in Disney World with her husband at the time, and she's like, yeah, it's like crazy, crazy busy here, and it didn't register till later. Oh, yeah, because literally it's the 100th anniversary. Like, she said, even busier, like, that day was by far the busiest, and didn't think about, oh, that would be why. That makes sense.
It's surprising that they wouldn't have made a bigger deal about it in the park then. Like, she wouldn't
have
known.
I think the bigger deal was at Magic Kingdom. They were at Hollywood Studios that
day. Right, but still.
Yeah, that is interesting. But Once Upon a Studios I want to talk about, because this short is amazing. I'm going to talk about a few things. Like, it's just so good. I challenge a Disney fan to watch it and not cry, honestly. Like,
you actually cried, like, you sniffled a little bit. I heard you sniffling, but if I would have seen that before and then showed it to you, I would have expected you to be, like, full out bawling.
So, there is, I think we don't need to spoil spoilers.
There's no plot.
Yeah, there's the basic premise is because of the studios, they're all of the animated people,
characters,
and I basically mean all, are getting together to do a group photo in honor of the 100th. And so Tinkerbell wakes up Mickey and Minnie and everyone else, and they all come out. And there's a mix between hand-drawn animation.
All the employees leave for the night.
Yes, this is at nighttime.
On the 100th yes. anniversary day, and then the idea is like Toy Story kind of thing, where all the characters come to life.
Yeah, but it's all Disney Animation Studios, so you're not seeing Pixar or anything like that. But there were other things about the Disney company that did include Pixar and Star Wars and Marvel, but this was just the animation
studios.
Yeah,
no, just your Disney Animation Studio.
But they did have a mix between computer generated and hand drawn, and they had like crazy deep cuts. They had super obscure characters. They had Easter eggs. Oh man, like crazy.
They had they had everything from Mickey and the Fab Five to, well, you had Oswald.
Yeah, but even more obscure.
Even the Home on the Range cows.
You had the Home on the Range cows, but they even included elements from the Silly Symphonies. And I'm not talking,
and like, even Silly Symphonies are not the most obscure thing they had. They had some like random old shorts from like the 40s that you've never even heard of. Well, you might have. But
yeah, no, I knew them all.
most normal people would not have heard
of. You know
of.
What? I feel judged, actually.
Yeah, you should.
I got incredibly excited because at one point there's like an... And they're all interacting. Like at one point, the one they kept showing in the trailer is Moana, and she catches Flounder.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Which is really cool because they're both water-adjacent characters, but one is 2D old school animation, one's 3D modern animation, and they had a lot of crossovers where like it made sense,
totally,
and that was fun. I think that was the most fun part about it.
Yeah, I really liked that.
It's like I kind of want little short spin-offs of these,
right?
Like where they actually go and do something.
Yeah, it sounds like some of the stuff was really cool. At one point I was like, you know, that makes sense together actually, like but I did enjoy seeing Humphrey the Bear and the Ranger. And I to explain to you who this is one of my favorite like, well, now you'd say obscure. But it's old Donald Duck cartoons. Humphrey the Bear had a few of his own, but he was an antagonist for Donald Duck. I think Donald was camping in the first one or something. And he was kind of like, he was yogi-ish in that he always wanted to eat.
He was derpy yogi.
He didn't talk. But then in the Humphrey the Bear cartoons, there's a ranger who like fights with him. And I'd always remember there was this one where he's trying to convince the bears to like clean up the park, and he like sings a song about you pick up the trash and you put it in the bag, bum bum bum. And I swear that song is still in my head, and I probably haven't seen it since I was like 4 years old.
And you haven't littered since.
No, not since then.
Thank you, Ranger Bob, or whatever his name is.
But there is a Easter egg of Humphrey the Bear and the Ranger. I know this is like a thing, but in DCA, it's kind of like you're leaving Soarin', and like along the wilderness trail, there's a billboard and it says like, Humphrey the Bear, thanks you for not littering, or something like that. And I love it every time.
I mean, that makes sense that it would be there, that if you're going to do something like that,
yeah,
that's where you would do
but
it.
But it's, yeah, that's, yeah, like, but they were in there. Like, there's all these different
there
levels.
There was
of,
some super random stuff.
So I think why I didn't openly bawl weep, and I mean, I was definitely crying, was I was like so excited to see
you
all
were,
these characters.
Yeah, you were out there with your magnifying glass.
I was, and I was like, oh my God. Like at one point, someone walks by and they're just holding a plate of spaghetti and meatballs, and it's like,
it's a penguin from Mary Poppins.
Yeah, it's the penguin from Mary Poppins holding the spaghetti and meatballs from Lady and the Tramp. And it's like stuff like that. I was just like, beside myself with. So
apparently there's like 543 characters.
Yeah,
in
it's
there,
amazing.
And it's only like 10 minutes long. Yeah. So they're jam-packed in there. Some are more featured than others.
Definitely.
Some are only in the credits, actually.
That's true. But there are two special things to note, which is like, if that doesn't make you cry, nothing's gonna make you cry, and you're like dead inside.
It's me, I'm dead inside.
The first one is you have Olaf sitting in an animator's desk. And he's
I think this is the second one, probably. The first one would be the big cameo of...
Oh, okay, well, there's three things then.
Oh, okay.
Okay, do the cameo first.
Well, I don't remember his name. I thought that's what you were saying. longtime Disney employee, worked for Disney for 70 years, apparently. Bernie Mattinson. Mattinson.
Died earlier this year. So he worked on tons of stuff, including Mickey's Christmas Carol, and he worked at Disney for 70 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yep, and the whole thing starts with he and an intern, like past and present, obviously, leaving the studio, and they kind of like, and actually the creators hold the door open for them as they go.
The director, the writer-directors are holding the door.
Yeah.
It's their own cameo, but no one knows who they are, so
no.
It doesn't matter.
So, okay, so there's one, and then another one is... Olaf is drawing at an animator's desk, and it's the genie, and the genie comes out, and it's like the perfect swirls from the movie Aladdin.
They redid the animation style of like the special
effects
when he like first appears out of the lamp.
10,000 years,
which is like, there's animation and there's like special animation, and like that was like
special
effects stuff. Yeah, cool.
So they brought back 40 voice actors, but what's really special about the genie one is they actually have Robin Williams' voice doing this never before heard. They were able to like piece it together, because that's the thing with Robin Williams. He just went out, like he just talked.
Yeah,
for...
they have hours of his recordings. Ooh. And they found a
and most
a small,
of it's not appropriate. Let's just say.
Small. Well, yeah, that there's that too. But they found a small unused piece. It wasn't AI, which is always the worry these days.
Yeah, but it's legitimately Robin Williams being the genie again. Like in a never before heard thing. So man, and even when I heard it, I was like, that sounds exactly like Robin Williams. Wow, they found a great but no, it is literally him. And then the last one is near the end, they're all like crowding out, and Mickey steps in front of a big picture of Walt.
It's Walt's portrait on the wall.
Yeah, his famous
studio.
Portrait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he kinda like takes off his hat and thanks him and stuff. And in the background, and I even said, you can hear Feed the Birds, which is famously Walt's favorite song. And the story is that on Fridays, before he took off for the weekend, he would get the Sherman Brothers to come up to his office, and he had like a little piano in there where they'd come in and like do whatever to like listen to this song. And he'd ask them to play Feed the Birds. So he'd like end the week on that. And actually, it's the recording of going and playing on the same piano in Walt's apartment that plays during that little moment in Once Upon a Studio. And I was like emotional before, when I was just like, oh, it's Feed the Birds. And then I read that after and I was like, why? But yeah, it's really cool. It's very good. And I highly recommend it. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, it's short. That makes sense. It's obviously no plot. The whole thing is it's just every Disney character ever basically getting together to do a group photo. And
yeah, but it's lovely. Goofy's very goofy-ish, and you didn't like it?
No, I liked it, but I don't know. It's what I described it as. It's like inside baseball nerdy animation stuff.
That, yeah,
like you and like if you're a Disney fan, you go like, oh, that's cute, like all the characters, but don't go in there expecting any sort of
that's fair
story or plot. Or
the animation itself, though, is crazy. Like you said, you have like a computer generated 3D character holding a hand drawn character, or you have the other one that we heard an interview about was Goofy. He's handling like the camera, and the camera is 3D, but Goofy is done in his original, like 2D form.
Well, and you have different animators doing different pieces. Mm-hmm. Like an animator will be responsible for one character, but you have like five characters on the screen, and yeah, but they're all interacting with each other. That's
really cool.
That would be tough as a director, to piece that together. But they somehow managed. It was enjoyable for sure.
Yeah. So I say to go watch that, and then the last thing is for spooky season. This is just an aside. While you're on Disney Plus, if you want some ambiance, they've added some more like background things. They added two Haunted Mansion ones.
Yeah, like normally you flip on YouTube and they have like the 10-hour ambiance,
yeah,
type of things. Well, Disney Plus has had a few like this. They have some Star Wars ones.
Yep.
They have some Frozen ones. You, yep, have like Olaf running past the fireplace. That's where it all started.
I like Olaf running past the fireplace.
Cable channels would, yep, have like the fireplace channel for the holidays, and now it's kind of grown from that.
Yeah, there's a Dory's Reef Cam, and it's the underwater, yeah, one, and yeah, like so there's a lot, but they've added the Haunted Mansion ones, two of them, one on the outside and then one in the ballroom. So
my favorite ambiance video that you can watch on YouTube right now is Nick Offerman drinking whiskey for an hour by the fireplace.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, he just sits there silently drinking whiskey.
That's amazing.
And making, like, strong eye contact.
That's not relaxing at all. Oh, okay. Anything, any other news? That's horrific. That's perfect on Halloween.
No, it's not. It's
eye contact while someone drinks whiskey is horrific.
No, he's, like, in, like, a paternal way. Like he's strong and,
okay,
strong, silent type.
Okay.
Drinking his whiskey with his mustache.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably
just got done some woodworking and is now going to go listen to a song on the piano.
No.
Okay, let's go to the main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
I am so excited, Brannon, to hear about what you watched for Blind Date with Disney. And before you complain at all, I want to bring up again Magic Gourd.
Yeah, this probably wasn't as bad as the Magic Gourd, mm-hmm, although I've never seen it, so I don't know. But it also wasn't very good. I also definitely super duper fell asleep for like 20 minutes during it.
Yeah, and then you have to go back and watch it.
I did rewind it. Somehow, like, I was able to recognize the exact moment that my brain just like shut down and pick it up from that,
okay,
spot. But yeah.
You wouldn't want to miss any plot points.
It is very serious plot.
I know nothing about this, so I am so excited.
Well, I am going to describe it to you in excruciating detail.
Oh.
So you will know it like the back of your hand.
Oh, how'd that get there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, what you made me watch, a lovely Disney Channel original, mm-hmm, movie from the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. Height of Disney movies.
This is pre 9/11 movie.
Oh, is that important?
No, it's not. It's just that's how old it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. It's called The Phantom of the Multiplex. Da-da-da!
Which didn't even register until I was downstairs and I kept hearing loud organ music.
It is full. They have a full soundtrack of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Full on organ music,
awesome,
just randomly through it, because the whole, well, I wouldn't say the whole plot, but it is loosely based on Phantom of the Opera, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
And Anyway, whatever. So it all starts off, and you got some old timey stuff showing people going to the movies, old black and white.
Okay.
And there's a narrator talking about how this town had a movie theater that they had then had to demolish, and now there is a big. Our Halloween kitty is now trying to murder the whale shark from Finding Dory that is on our couch.
Which is giant.
It's giant. It is literally four times the size of her because she's still a kitten. But she's giving her best to try and murder it.
So we apologize for the sound.
I am just very distracted right now by the whale shark murdering. Anyway, okay. So, yes, there's a movie theater, old movie theater, and as progress goes, it's bulldozed.
Okay.
For a giant 26-screen multiplex, as you did in the 90s. Like, multiplexes were big. But, apparently, there's rumors going around that someone was trapped in the old movie theater.
Oh, no.
And now they are the phantom of the multiplex.
Doo-doo-doo.
And then it turns out the narrator is our hero.
Oh.
17-year-old assistant manager of the multiplex.
Of course.
His name is Pete Riley.
Okay.
I had to look that up because I didn't know.
Okay.
Not important.
Oh, but he's the protagonist.
He is our hero, I guess, kind of, sort of.
Okay, Pete.
He's a very ambitious 17-year-old. He's like basically a workaholic.
At 17.
You're like basic 90s, early 2000s trope of workaholism. Usually it's the father. Well, he has no father, so it's him.
Oh, okay. All right.
We find out he's got two siblings.
Mm-hmm.
They're like quite a bit younger than him. He's
17.
I was going to
say, he must be significantly younger so he can play the father.
So the middle child is his sister,
mm-hmm.
and she's in charge of watching the little brother.
Okay.
During the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And shenanigans ensue from there, but I'll get to that. They're probably about 8 years younger than him or so. I don't know. She might be 12, so I guess she's 5, and then the younger brother's like a couple years younger than her or something like that. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so he's the assistant manager. The manager is kind of a, I don't know, a dorky kind of guy.
Okay.
But like likes lording over all these teenagers. And then we meet the whole cast of he introduces all his workmates.
Okay.
And they all have like a specific character trait.
Is he still talking to the audience at this time?
Kind of, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a narration thing. Not quite fourth wall breaking, Saved by the Bell style, but like a narration.
Okay.
He's introducing everybody. Let's see if I can find a list here, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this from memory. Okay. It actually has the ages of the siblings here in the cast. Yes. The sister's apparently 11, and she's in charge of watching the 10-year-old brother. In what world would that fly, where they're 1 year apart?
Yeah, I don't know. He must, unless he's really dumb.
I think the dumbest one was a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got Sean McGibbon. He's the manager.
Okay. Good name.
Very very dorky. The uniform for the theater involves bow ties, but he like wears his all the time and he's like very proud of it, and he's like super into being the manager, and like he's like a brown noser to the owner kind of thing, like that kind of type of dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go through the coworkers.
Okay.
You meet Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
His nickname is Ricky Rules. He always has like the employee handbook and is always talking about all the rules for doing things. You got to do everything by the book. Mm-hmm. He's not in very much, but that's his character trait.
Okay.
And then there's Terry. Her nickname is Scary Terry.
Okay.
And she always has a horror story about anything that's happening.
Oh,
it's like, okay. Someone at a theater in the next town over fell into the popcorn machine and was horribly burned or stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Anyway, she's kind of a morbid type of person and Yeah.
Gary Terry sounds like she has some stories, at least.
Yeah, well, anyway. And then you have Hillary. She's known as, like, the grandmother of everyone there. Mm. She has a very motherly vibe about her, like, and calls everyone sweetie and honey. And
the grand but she's a like 20.
She's a teenager. Oh, like, okay. She's the same age as everyone, but just, like, treats everyone. She's still the mom of the crew, I guess.
She'd be like me.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And then you have Mark. They call him Question Mark, because you tell him to do anything, and he'll ask you a bunch of questions about it. He just wants to clarify things. I don't know.
I see that's a problem. Better than doing it wrong.
And then you have Lacey. She's known as Racy Lacey, which sounds more fun than it is. No, she just like tries to do everything as fast as she can.
Not the best name choice for her.
No, kind
of. Also, definitely, if a bunch of teenagers were coming up with names and they named her Racy Lacey, not why should they do that?
No, exactly. And then you have Merle. He's just known as Merle.
Okay, is there a character trait for Merle?
He is the nerd that makes all the projections. Like, the projectors run. He's the only one that can, like, handle all the fancy equipment and stuff.
He's the only useful one.
Basically.
Okay.
And then you have, basically, your, like, traditional high school tropes. You got the girl that the protagonist has a crush on is coming to see some movies. And you got the bullies coming to see some movies to hit on the girl that he has a crush on.
Of course.
Et cetera, et cetera. And then we have Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney's in this movie. He's an old dude that doesn't actually work for the movie theater, but likes it so much that he's there every day and pretends he's an employee because he loves movies so much. And,
Mickey Rooney.
And it's like, full-on Mickey Rooney is, yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Mickey Rooney, and he's like, just loves movies so much.
Interesting. Is he the ghost?
So... most of the plot is, like, these weird things start to happen. So, basically... okay. Back up.
Okay, all right.
So, we meet everybody. They're running the movie theater, and he's the protagonist, the Riley guy. He's, like, super proud that he's the assistant manager. He's the youngest assistant manager that the theater's ever had. He likes to work really hard, and he likes to put in a lot of hours, and very proud of his part-time theater job.
Okay, which as is, one is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing. Which we learn... he learns to reprioritize his life at the end of the movie. But anyway,
I'm getting... it's great that we're all better people.
Yes. I think we learned something today.
No, we didn't, Gaz. No, we didn't.
So he's talking all about this. And then he's like, yeah, so there's these rumors about the Phantom of the Multiplex. And you know what? Some weird things do start happening sometimes. Yeah. Like, whatever. Anyway. But the owner of the movie theater has his connections in Hollywood, and he's convinced them to host a big Hollywood-style premiere at the Multiplex tonight.
Ooh.
But before that, because this movie is called Midnight Mayhem.
Okay. And happens at midnight.
So the premiere is going to happen at midnight.
Of course it is.
They're going to hold regular showings before this so the movie can happen.
Okay.
And... that's when the siblings come to watch a movie.
Okay.
Because mom needs to go on a date with her boyfriend, George.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't have their father anymore.
Oh.
I think he died. I
don't know. Did he die?
It didn't.
Oh, is this Hallmark movie rules where there is, like, a missing spouse and they don't really clarify if they left or died?
They're like, well, they say, well, your father really liked movies and that's probably why you like watching movies so much or working at the movie theater so much. So I think he died. Like, it's heavily implied that he died. They don't go into it because it's a little slightly morbid, but anyway. And the kids actually like the boyfriend. Like, that's not a problem.
Good.
Boyfriend George is fine.
Oh, we're not doing that trope. Okay.
No, yeah, it's totally fine. Everything's good, but that's why the siblings are causing havoc at the
they're causing havoc.
Well, they're not really causing havoc, actually. They're more helpful than anything. But that's why they're there.
So
things start happening. The sister really wants to go see a scary movie with her friends, and so she drops off the younger boy, who's only a year younger, at a different movie and tells him to stay there and leaves her coat there so that if the older brother comes to check on them, the younger brother can tell him that she's just in the bathroom.
Okay.
And then so she goes to the horror film. But meanwhile, things start to happen. That there's a movie called A Glimpse of Jillian or something like that. Okay. And the focus is super off and it like flickers in and out. And so you can only catch a glimpse of the main character is the idea.
Okay.
Yeah, it was weird. And then there's one called like In the Dark or something like that. And the lights keep going on and off or
putting them
stuff
in the dark
like that. And then there's a Twister knockoff.
Was there a flying cow?
There was a really badly animated flying cow, but they steal the world's strongest prop fan from the lobby, and it causes a tornado in the movie theater, and Riley has to go turn it off, struggles again. Anyway, it's this whole thing. Anyway, so all these problems are happening, but they're all themed to the movies that are in there. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, it's the Phantom, but who is the Phantom? And so it's like kind of a whodunit.
Okay.
And for a while you're thinking, they're thinking it's probably Mickey Rooney's character because he's been around. He used to own the old multiplex.
Oh, okay.
And the manager, Sean, kind of ticked him off today because they were short-staffed. And so Sean asked him to help take tickets. And then he wasn't taking tickets from anyone who was coming to bad movies because he's like, don't waste your time on watching bad movies, which is really good life advice. Thank you, Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
Although,
see, no problem here.
Sometimes a good bad movie is also fun. But
yes, and sometimes you have to watch the bad movie because your wife puts it on your list for a blind date with Disney.
It's true. Mickey Rooney was not here to save me tonight. Although Mickey Rooney was in this movie, so maybe it's his fault in the end.
Maybe. Is it?
I'm blaming it on Mickey Rooney.
Okay.
That is the title of the episode.
All right,
okay.
Blaming it on Mickey Rooney. Got it.
So he gets kicked out of the movie theater, and so you like it's like heavily implied that it's probably Mickey Rooney's character I don't even know what his name is. It is Mickey Rooney. It doesn't matter. That he's probably the Phantom and he's doing all this stuff.
Isn't Merle?
Merle's the projectionist.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the two younger siblings can't focus on their movies because they know all this stuff is happening.
Crazy chaos.
And the younger brother specifically runs off to help the older brother.
Mm.
And because the sister's trying to watch her horror film with her friends, and it's like kind of a run around hijinks type of thing. And so the younger brother tries to help the older brother figure out things, and he keeps saying, oh, it's the Phantom and whatever. And the older brother's like, no, it's just, we got to fix these things. He's trying to be practical and whatever.
Yeah.
But then they reunite with the sister, and the older brother's like, okay, you got to watch your younger brother this time. You got to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they go off to investigate the Phantom, and they find the basement, and there's like a hidden area in the basement with all these old movie props.
Ah.
And then suddenly behind them is Mickey Rooney.
Ah.
And they're like all scared. And then they're like, movie, he's like, they call him movie something, his character. Movie Mickey Rooney, anyway.
Okay, movie Mickey Rooney.
Doesn't matter. And they're like, are you the Phantom of the multiplex? And he's like, there's no greater sin than like ruining a movie. I would never ever do anything like this. He just really loves movies.
Yeah.
He's got like his own special little hideaway with all these movie props,
right.
And he just loves movies. So
so he wouldn't ruin a movie. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's not him. So then they decide, well, the only one that knows how all these projection equipment work is Merle.
Right.
It must be Merle. And then they kind of like shuffle around and try and find out. And there's Merle. Like, he's like working on the projector that's like malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Merle, you must be the Phantom of the multiplex.
Right.
You're the only one that knows how to do this. And he's like, no, I'm trying to fix it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. And it's not Merle either.
No.
Yeah. And they're trying to figure it out. They can't super figure it out. The older brother calls his mom's pager. That's right. Pager.
Nice.
And his mom has to borrow George's boyfriend's phone. He's got a cell phone.
Oh.
A little flip phone. It's like not even huge. I mean, it's 2000. It's a flip phone.
Yeah,
like, whatever. And she calls him back on the lobby payphone of the movie theater.
And you lost the...
Wow.
That was a lot. That was a wild ride right there.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, well, their movies are done. You should come pick them up now. Because we're so short-staffed, I was going to drive them home on my break, but I don't get a break now, et cetera, et cetera. Scary Terry's like, you know what happened at the theater down the road when they didn't get their lunch break? They all died or something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's fine. But then they hang up and they're going to come pick them up. And then George's car won't start.
Oh.
So.
It was the Phantom.
Of course, they don't have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids don't know this. And he tells them to sit there and wait on the bench in the lobby, like where they're supposed to meet in the days before cell phones.
That's what we did.
And so no one knows that they're not going to be able to be coming because George's car isn't working right now. And that's interesting.
Okay.
So that's why the kids get to stay doing kid things, I guess.
Okay.
And meanwhile,
there's a Phantom.
Well, yes, the Phantom. there's still a Phantom, of course. But it's getting closer to the time for the premiere, which is what we're leading all up to. The manager keeps disappearing. But he's found tied up.
Oh.
The Phantom keeps tying up the manager. And so before they found him and they untied him and he like got them to do like go fix the projector, and that's when they found Merle. This time they find him in his office and he's like handcuffed and hung up on the back of his door.
Okay.
They think he's dead at first, but no, he's just tied up and
weird.
They're super concerned because all the stars are starting to arrive for this Hollywood premiere, and the manager hasn't been there to meet them yet. And then the owner storms in with the director of the movie.
Oh.
And they're getting ready to do the... They're like, what's going on? And stuff like that. And, well, the Phantom strikes again because they had a big balloon drop planned. But somehow he replaced the balloons with water balloons.
Of course, everyone.
Everyone gets wet.
Not the celebrities.
But the manager then goes outside and is like, and there's a big red carpet and there's like paparazzi everywhere. And he's like super embarrassed because he's late and he's trying to appease the crowd. But there you find Mickey Rooney singing to the crowd about good old Hollywood. He does a whole song and dance. And he's like, hey, I thought I kicked you out of here. What are you even still doing here? And he's like, well, I'm entertaining your guests that you didn't bother with. And he's like, well, get the heck out of here. But then the limousine that's waiting rolls down the window and there's the star from the movie, Pretty Girl. And she's like, hey, movie Mickey.
Yeah.
And apparently she grew up in the town and she used to go to the movie theaters.
And he
told her to go off and be a star, join the movies, and he's going to be her date for the evening.
Oh, la-di-da.
So he gets to go
Mickey
to the...
Mickey Rooney is pretty...
Mickey Rooney, he's just...
Yep.
He's just the Hollywood power broker now, I guess. I don't know. So they all go into the theater, and they're going to watch Midnight Mayhem, which apparently has something to do with dinosaurs.
Because
there's a bunch of dinosaurs.
What?
Well, there's also a big inflatable... kind of looks like Godzilla-ish T-Rexy thing on the top of
the movie theater
to advertise for the premiere.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Midnight Mayhem. Also, Midnight Mayhem's advertisements, all the posters and stuff, the font is eerily similar to Jurassic Park.
Ah, okay.
That's, I don't know. It's something to do with dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe King Kong, I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, the inflatable is important. It was on the roof, and then it goes missing.
Giant inflatable.
They can't find it. So everybody's in the thing. The director starts introducing the movie, everyone's ready to watch the movie.
Yep.
But suddenly, the inflatable starts inflating from the balcony of the movie.
Nice.
Because apparently they built a multiplex with a balcony.
Of course they did. In the
2000s. I've been in one movie theater that has balcony seating time.
I've been in more
it was
than
not
one.
It was not a multiplex.
I have been in more than one, but none of them were multiplexes. They were all like small town, old.
I think I watched Spider-Man 2 in a theater with a balcony.
Balcony?
No, I wasn't. I never actually watched a movie in the balcony because, the view wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Or the sound and everything. That was just, overflow seating.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, there was an old balcony in Cranbrook, actually.
Oh, there was an old balcony. There was a theater in my town when I was very young.
And it had a balcony?
And it had a balcony, but the balcony was always off limits. Like, it was roped off and stuff like that.
Was it condemned?
Probably, honestly.
Because that was actually pretty common, too. Any,
yeah,
like, old theaters that had balconies, they were often condemned. Because, like, the structural integrity was not there.
Not
anyway,
there.
The structural integrity of this was fine because they had a giant...
Because it's a multiplex.
Inflatable.
Okay.
Come down, and everyone for some reason is terrified of this inflatable, even though it's, I don't know, it's just an inflatable. It's not a real dinosaur. It's just an inflatable.
Take scissors and...
Well, we're getting there. Oh. Stop ruining things.
Sorry!
Meanwhile, the siblings are off on this magical thing called the internet to look for spoiler sites.
What?
Because on the internet, you can find spoilers to every movie.
Can you?
So they can know what the
climax of the movie, because
all the problems that the Phantom has done has been
during the climax
with the movie. It's all tied into the movie,
okay.
So they're trying to find out what they're gonna do.
Yes,
that doesn't really go anywhere because at the same time the inflatable's coming, and that's what the Phantom does anyway. It doesn't matter. That I just thought it was funny that they went on the internet on a spoiler site and they made a big deal about it. And like, don't you know on the internet you can find all the Hollywood secrets?
Don't you know? Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so but yes, this inflatable comes and it's like very scary. The mouth like lands on the director and everybody's screaming, but it's still just
so
an inflatable.
Scary.
But to solve this, Petey has to in the lobby there's this advertisement where it's for a movie, and it's like the meteor King Arthur, I guess, because there's a sword in the stone, but there's a meteor.
Sure.
And apparently there's a contest. If you pull the sword from the stone, you win free movie tickets.
Oh, okay.
And the bully had just done that.
Okay.
Previously, apparently every 10,000 tugs,
it
comes out,
okay,
is how it works. And Petey's like, oh no, I need this sword to pop the balloon, but it's 10,000 tugs, and he's trying to like yank the sword out of the stone.
Yeah.
And then Merle's like, yeah, or you could just, and he hits the off switch and it comes out, because Merle's the only one that knows how to work an off switch, I guess.
Merle is the only useful human during any of this. And Mickey Rooney,
yeah. And so he gets the sword, which is apparently a real sword, because then he jumps on the inflatable and starts stabbing it, and it deflates. From
a
the
real
he,
sword.
Well, I don't know. It's pointy enough to deflate a major inflatable.
Okay.
Which also is inflated enough to support him when he jumps on it from the top of the balcony. So,
okay.
I mean, the owner did say it was a very expensive inflatable.
I guess so.
He's probably going to be kind of mad that it's
stabby,
got,
stab, stab,
got
stab.
Holes in it.
Yeah.
But also, he saved the premiere,
I guess. Okay. All right, so what happens?
So it's deflated, and then... The Phantom, he's da-da-da. Got a mask. Yeah, da-da-da. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's organ music. He
da-da-da.
Comes out and he's got a mask and a cloak on, and he attacks Petey for ruining his plans, which I don't know what his plans were. Inflatable.
He did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so and then they fight, but then they go behind the screen of the theater, and so then you see their fight
in silhouette,
and there's like rope. They're like swinging back and forth on rope. It's like very dramatic, and like I don't know how either of them can do it. And then they come swinging, they were swinging like left and right.
Where did the rope come from?
I don't know. It's behind the screen, which isn't how movie theaters
no.
work. But
okay,
I'm suspending all of my disbelief all
okay.
the way.
All right.
And so they're swinging back left and right and fighting, and then suddenly they come through the screen.
Of course they do.
It's like that's how physics works.
Yep.
And tumbling into the crowd. And Petey's got the upper hand, and he like chokes him, and then rips off his mask, and it's none other than Sean, the manager.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was pretty obvious. And Sean's like mad at the owner because the owner never knew his name and passed him over for a promotion.
Oh,
and
he's the manager. Why was he getting promoted?
He was
going to
be the general manager.
Oh, okay.
He was only the senior manager.
I see.
So in solid nepotism, he had made his like nephew
of course
the general manager, and the
the nephew, of course, knows nothing about movies or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean is like understandably upset about this, kind of goes about it in a little strange way, like a little bit unhinged,
a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, not great either.
No.
And so that's the Phantom is unmasked, literally, and the premiere is they get to have the premiere, and the young siblings ask the older brother to ask their mom if they can stay and watch.
That's how premieres work. People can just randomly watch them.
Well, he saved it, so he's got a little bit of pull now,
I guess.
Yeah, no, like that's how it.
Okay.
And he gets the girl as well.
How?
And George proposes to the mom.
Cool.
He doesn't have a ring though, but you know who does.
Mickey Rooney. Of course he does.
He's got a movie prop ring, and he's like, yeah, I have this just in case.
In case this specific thing.
Yeah, I don't know. And everyone's happy except Sean, who gets fired and like
probably arrested
and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
nothing bad ever happens to the bully though.
What?
Yeah.
I kind of want
to. He doesn't
get
the girl, but he.
Yeah, well.
He gets free movie tickets because he pulled the sword out of the stone.
That's not bad.
No.
That's the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so like Mickey Rooney is just like this wonderful, benevolent being who just likes movies.
Yeah.
Cool.
And like the moral of this. Oh, well, and then the owner is like, okay, Petey, you saved my fancy Hollywood premiere. And Sean's fired, so you should become senior manager now. And he's like, yes. And then he remembers, because he talked to his siblings about how he's been working too much and he should just enjoy being a kid because he's only 17. And right. He's like, no, wait, I should enjoy being a kid because I'm only 17.
Yeah. So.
And I need the rest of the night off. And the owner's like, yes, you do. That's right. And everyone lives happily ever after, I guess.
So who's the new manager?
Not clear.
Okay. Did he keep his regular job?
Possibly. Not important.
Clear. Okay.
It feels like
it's important.
The idea is movies are a wonderful escape, and don't be a workaholic when you're 17. Which
makes
is
sense. I mean,
that's
fair.
Good messages.
Also, promote someone who's capable, not your nephew.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think?
I liked the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I liked my nap during it.
Like less that you had to rewind and watch more?
I liked my nap during it, yeah.
All right.
The other thing I forgot to mention,
mm-hmm.
there was a nice little interlude of one of the things somehow that the Phantom did was sabotage the gumball machine in the lobby.
Okay.
The little brother's trying to get a gumball out and it's broken, and he like pulls off the door, and the bully comes over and is like, oh, dumb kid, you just have to stick it back on. And then all the gumballs come pouring out and everyone starts slipping on the gumballs, and there's a big mess, and it's like this ridiculous thing where everyone can't walk because there's gumballs on the floor.
Okay.
Anyway, Petey comes to save the day, and there's a big standee for the Power Penguins.
Oh,
which is a very clear Mighty Ducks knockoff, because it's a hockey movie.
Okay.
But it's the Power Penguins.
Okay.
And somehow the Sandy has a real hockey stick that he grabs.
Of course.
And he starts shooting the gumballs into the garbage can.
How Canadian.
With the hockey stick.
Seems like
that's
the
like
most efficient way to do that.
Very efficient way to clean up gumballs on the floor. And The whole lobby starts cheering for him as he's scoring his gumballs in the garbage can, except for the girl who he has a crush on, who starts watching him and is like impressed, and then is suddenly like whisked away by the bully and stops caring about it, even though the entire lobby is like cheering and chanting for him. So I don't know if she's worth it either.
I don't think so.
I'm getting like Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Mary Jane vibes from her. Like not the greatest girlfriend.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm like why? Why is he like?
Anyway,
that?
I thought the Power Penguins was funny.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and I like
that was the best part of the movie was
the
Power Penguins. Yeah.
That...
Oh, and the really bad CGI cow in the Twister knockoff.
That is
movie,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that there is a cow in the Twister mm-hmm. knockoff movie. Do you want to invent a drink for this one?
No.
You need to drink to watch this.
Yeah, just like a straight tequila shot just to save yourself. I don't know.
Oh man, this sounds like a ride. Not necessarily a good ride.
I hope they don't make a ride out of this. No, that would be worse than Superstar Limo. Ooh. You should listen to our episode on Superstar Limo.
Nice, Sagui.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's called a plug.
Yeah, not a Sagui. It's a plug.
Mm.
Well, this sounds like a whole lot of fun, actually.
I talked way too much for such a horrible movie now.
I kind of want to watch Phantom of the Opera, though.
I don't either.
No, I love Phantom. This was definitely a spooky... We only have one spooky episode. No, two spooky episodes left.
Yeah.
One. One. Only one. That's crazy. Spooky season's almost over, Brandon. Sad.
Yeah, we gotta go watch another. It was truly one of the movies of all time.
Huh? Yeah. One of them. Mm-hmm. It exists. Mm-hmm. Well, that is our show this week. Thank you, Emil, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can also find a link to our social media accounts. If you're more into emailing, you can also message us there. Also, I updated the website.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you click on episode, there's a spot where it says like new listener, start here. And they were organized previously. Well, I updated them because we have a lot more, like we've done other ones that are now, they're kind of organized into like favorites. So our favorites and then our
every
most
episode
popular,
is my that's favorite.
That's true. And then, you okay? And then our most popular, which has changed dramatically. But then I also organized the category. So I have all the decades in one section. And I have all the a blind date with Disney ones in one section.
Those are truly the best.
Yeah. And then I've now started a deep dive section.
Deep dives are good, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially Superstar Limo, like I said.
Yeah, go listen to that one. So you should definitely check it out. And everything is linked. It's a big thing. Yeah.
No. Well, good job. I did nothing. Thank you.
No, I know. I just told you I did it.
Yeah. Like, I did. Oh. I did absolutely nothing. I will take no credit.
Okay.
Or I will take all the credit.
No. That's totally.
That's how you get a.
Move.
That's how you get a disgruntled employee
exactly.
who just tries to destroy the whole
exactly.
company. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You can find us on Instagram at disneya.podcast, on Facebook at disneya, and Twitter or X on disneyapodcast, even though we are not active on there at all.
X
as my students found out when they were searching for us.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. They're X. like, you haven't posted here in a long time. I said, don't go on there.
X, formerly Twitter.
Exactly.
So that's how you have to say.
You can find Disneya episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. Yes, I don't want to talk about X, formerly Twitter.
X, formerly Twitter.
You have to say with the voice.
Yeah.
Oh no. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please be sure to recommend Disneya to them. Next episode, like I said, the last one of spooky season, Brandon. Are you sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love spooky season.
Because now you're going to make me watch Christmas movies.
Yeah, almost certainly. Oh, 100% certainly. We are actually having a very special Halloween episode because we're going to talk about some scary stories.
We are?
Yeah. Specifically.
I just watched one.
Specifically, scary stories from the Disney parks.
Okay.
Like, maybe they're urban legends, maybe they're... But I'm going to tell you some scary stories.
Terrifying.
I know, right? So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?